For years, we've been told there's nothing that can be done about gingivitis and receding gums. But according to dentist Dr. Simon Darfour, that's no longer the case. There is now a treatment that can reverse the effects.
Now, what can be done is we can reconstitute the gum tissue quality to its optimum. We can rebuild it to a good level. But like anything, we're not magicians, and we can only work with the environment that we've got. So it's important to treat patients at an earlier stage of the disease process where we have a greater chance of rebuilding them back to where God, Mother Nature restored them. If you leave it too late, we can still rebuild, but not to the same level. But yes, we can treat, you know, areas of recession, which ultimately would cause gum sensitivity and tooth sensitivity.
Now, what is it that's causing this recession in the first place?
Recession is what we call multifactorial. It has different causes. The most common cause is aggressive brushing. Now, we all want to brush well, but some people overdo it. They brush too hard. And that's probably the most important cause. The second cause is one in six of us have gum disease. And gum disease is a creeping disease. What it would do would cause loss of gum tissue and the periodontium. Now, when we say periodontium, we mean the supporting structures around the tooth, the gum and bone. So those are two of the main causes of gum recession.
Does it matter what caused it as to whether or not you can treat it?
Well, yes, because ideally we want to deal with causation. If causation is caused by aggressive brushing, we want to stop that. We want to advise you how to brush properly, you know, by working with a dental hygienist. If the gum recession is caused by gum disease, we want to treat it. We want to A, look at reasons as to why. Is it caused by diet, a high dairy diet? Is it caused by genetic predisposition? What can we do? So we always like to deal with the cause first, because if we don't identify and eliminate that, it'll come back again.
Once you've identified it, though, does it matter which it is as to whether or not you can treat it ultimately?
No. Once we've identified the causation, it doesn't really matter. What we have to do is we work on certain basis. Grafting of gum tissue depends on two important factors. Number one is blood supply, vascularity, and number two, the amount of bone present. If we're compromising blood supply and the amount of bone, the result is less predictable and it's less encouraging. So those are the important factors. So the cause is, to a certain degree, is irrelevant once we've identified it.
You're grafting basically a bit of gum tissue onto my gum. Where does this gum tissue come from?
We've got two sources. Historically, we were able to graft very small areas by going into your palate to get the gum tissue. But for obvious reasons, some people don't necessarily want that. They don't want a surgical dentist going to their palate to cut it and get this bit of tissue because it's going to be sore and then you have two surgical sites. Allerderm is a refreshing alternative, and this is a synthetic gum tissue which we're not compromised in terms of size. We just pre-order it in terms of the dimensions that we want, and we can graft one site or multiple sites in one visit.
So what is this tissue then? Does it come from another human being?
Yes, it's a processed human tissue. The basis of it is from skin. This skin is treated, so in essence, it's made safe. So the DNA is taken out of it, and it's what we call acellular. So there's less chance of rejection. It's gone through all the relevant ADA and pathways for approval. So we can reassure people it's perfectly safe.
And so once it's there, how do you get it to stick? You're gluing it on or what?
It's a glorified glue. We use, you know, refined surgical techniques to ensure that the graft is placed where we want it, and we keep it there, and we modify the gum tissue environment to make sure it stays as we want it, as we wait for it to convert, because that conversion process would occur over a 6 to 8 week period, and that's when the graft becomes mature. Obviously, there are precautions that the individual will have to take after grafting, and this is something that we will go through in the initial assessment.
In terms of the process, is it very different if you've got very little bit of recession as compared to if you've got a lot of recession? How different is the process?
From our point of view, the less recession you have, the easier it is to deliver. But that's not to say if you have a gross amount or a lot of recession that we can't treat, but the recovery time and the actual surgical technique is longer. It's almost if you're replacing part of one aorta to a heart as opposed to the whole thing, it's going to take time. So the more complicated or the greater recession you have, the more pronounced the surgery is, and ultimately, you know, the longer healing is going to occur.
And how much does it hurt?
I routinely say to patients, expect some minor discomfort for a day or two. If it's a bigger graft, it's going to be probably 2 days. If it's a small one, just for a day. But we manage with pain medication. So you won't have raging pain or toothache per se. You're comfortable. And the longer the surgery, the more swelling you'll have. But again, we manage that with anti-swelling medication.
Are there certain things that you can't do afterwards? I mean, should I not eat a curry, for example, or not brush my teeth or something?
What I say is you cannot brush the area of surgery for at least least a week after the grafting procedure is done. Because if you brush with any vigor, you're going to dislodge the graft, you're going to damage the delicate work that we've done. The treatment of gum recession is where plastic surgery meets dentistry. So it's almost a combination of the two skills, where you're using very delicate techniques, very delicate suture and stitching patterns to ensure that you get the graft exactly where you want it to. And the last thing you want is somebody attacking it with an aggressive brushing technique or by putting undue pressure. So it's a very compromised lifestyle whilst you wait for that healing process for the first, you know, 3, 4, 5 days.
How long does this last? Is it there forever now?
Aladerm has been in use and documented for the last 12 years. So we have 12 years of clinical research and the results are promising. Don't ask me what it'll be like after 2030. We don't know. We can anticipate that it's going to give us the results in keeping with what we see. So provided somebody can actually identify causation, what's caused it and how you're going to modify, and it's reviewed on an ongoing and regular basis, then you should be fine.
That's Dr. Simon Darfour, dentist at No. 1 Harley Street in London.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.